following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, I hope you had a good weekend. I certainly did. It was not long enough, but it was better than nothing. Thanks to Pastor Chris Connell for standing in for me on Friday. He was talking about, I think, canceling grace, which is a sad thought, but a reality here in America. And I have some things I want to share from my experience over the weekend. I was at the Billy Graham Training Center out at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Absolutely beautiful, with our former governor, should have been governor, Dan Forrest, and some other great, John Stone Street from the Colson Center, and Frank Turek is a great apologist. It was a great weekend. I'll get into some of that as we unpack this week. But I saw this story this morning, came out, and then I got an email from my friend Sloan. So here's the story. Biden sets to push critical race theory on U.S. schools. President Biden's Department of Education has signaled its intent to impose the most radical forms of critical race theory on America's schools. That's great. Biden's Department of Education, the text of a proposed new rule establishing priorities for grants in American history and civics education, two things that I teach correctly. That rule gives priority grant projects that incorporate racially, ethnically, culturally, and linguistically diverse perspectives. The rule goes on to cite and praise the New York Times landmark 1619 project, which is mostly hogwash, as well as the work on the critical race theory. The program immediately targeted by Biden's new priority criteria for American history and civics grants are small. Once in place, however, those criteria will undoubtedly influence the much larger and vastly more dangerous Civics Secures Democracy Act. That bill would appropriate $1 billion a year, $1 billion a year for 6 years for history and civic education. And you know what you need to do if your kids are coming home from school and telling you this is what's going on? You need to take action. You need to go to edfirstnc.org and be a part of Schoolhouse Shock. Our good friend Sloan Rackmuth from the Education First Alliance sent me an email, like literally right on the heels, Sloan, of this stupid article I was reading out in the National Review. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, Steve?
I'm okay. The fight goes on. Thank you. All right, so this is great. This is unfortunately necessary. Tell us what's going on with Schoolhouse Shock, because we all need to be invested in this.
Well, great. So my organization, Education First Alliance, operates primarily in North Carolina right now. And we have been, like parents have been, it's been like whack-a-mole to respond to all of this curriculum, all of these teaching materials that we have been privy to and been given examples of all over the state of not indoctrination, but actually curriculum that is terrorizing and intimidating children as young as 5 years old based on things like their skin color, their religion, or even their gender choices. And so we believe that this is unlawful, and we're seeing rule breaking constantly, and we need to take it to the next level. So in comes our project we just launched today, Schoolhouse Shock, which is a website, a program where people can go to our website and download credible evidence of children being abused with critical race theory.
Yeah, it's really shocking. And one of the problems we have is we tend to, I mean, some of us were a homeschool family for 17 years, as you know. We just didn't even bother to go play the game. But there's a lot of people that don't have that choice. And they're in there, and we feel helpless, Sloan. We feel like there's the big machine. In our case, here in Wake County, one of the largest school systems in the country, run by liberals top to bottom. And you're just one parent. You can't make a difference. And so, like we've seen with James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, some of my friends who got the Planned Parenthood videos and David DeLeiden to show that they were selling body parts of these aborted children, we need to start sharing the information that we gather from our kids and from parents. And that's really the point here, is to drag this stuff out of the dark into the light, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to show, even though, you know, I've got children in private school and you've got your children in homeschool, but this is about the future of the nation and what kind of society are we if we cannot take care of our very most vulnerable children. And that's really what this issue is all about. It's about stopping child abuse. So we're going to, much in the way that Lieutenant Governor Robinson has done, we're going to set up a kind of a task force, if you will, that will get the information. But we're also going to be connecting parents and teachers. Teachers are caught up in this too. We'll be connecting them with lawyers, teams of lawyers from all over the country, the most aggressive attorneys you can ever imagine that are just waiting to get their hands on these cases. So we'll be connecting them with attorneys, also with investigative journalists like myself, who do want to show the horrors of what's going on, and it is horrible in our public schools, and also connecting these parents with advocates like our group and about 30 others that we work with, because, you know, this is when you start messing with children, right?
Yep.
You're dealing with, in some cases, mental health problems that have happened as a direct result of the abuse that children are encountering in their schools.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. And when you look at what's going on with critical race theory and what they're trying to do, obviously, with civics education, which is re-engineer the country and our understanding of our founding principles. I mean, they are literally resegregating the country. They're fomenting hate, unnecessary guilt, and they're fomenting covetousness. There's all kinds of things from a biblical view, Old Testament, New Testament, that this is in violation of, and it's going to be horrifically damaging to our country. You think our country's deeply divided now. Wait until we inculcate or train all these children, like you said, as young as five, to think like this, to hate themselves, to hate their neighbor. I mean, this stuff is going to germinate for decades, and it's just brutal. So when the tips come in, this is literally like a tip line, right, Sloan? You have something going on, you need help, you need to report it, and then what happens when they give you this information?
Well, what happens next is this, is number one, we have a lot of parents coming to us that are just so nervous and teachers so intimidated about coming forward. They need to know that they're not alone. When you're with our group, you will never walk alone through this fight, period. And so just kind of making it safe to turn in information is one thing. The second thing is we need to make this information ready, kind of plaintiff ready, if you will, and actionable for lawyers. And so that's what we're really good at is, you know, ferreting out what, if anything, in situations are actually actionable. So, you know, legal help is going to be critical for us.
Yeah.
And then third, the investigative journalist piece is really important. I mean, I always tell people, even if you don't have kids, you don't have kids at home, or you don't even like kids, this is important because
this is
child abuse. And
that's
so
right.
I want to show people, we want to show, in fact, I work with a team of journalists.
I'm up against the break, Sloan, so I got to go, but I'll have you back on. Okay, well, I'll have you back on. We'll keep talking about it. EdFirstNC.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So you go back to the 2008 campaign with Barack Obama. Remember he ran into that guy, Joe the Plumber? Remember that? Remember Joe the Plumber? Joe the Plumber, just a regular citizen, but had a backbone and went mano a mano with Obama at the time. And he had his 15 minutes of fame, Joe the Plumber. But that was a great example for all of us of a common citizen deciding, I'm going to engage. That's what happened to me. I was Steve the Painter up until about April of 2004. Call to action started. God did his thing over the next few years. Got more involved in all kinds of stuff. And then radio started, yada, yada, yada. Sloan, that's why I like to have Sloan on. Sloan was a mother, a wife, then goes and gets her degree at a later age from Harvard, of all places, and then becomes an activist. And then another friend, another example of a citizen, in this case, somebody that is a father, a husband, a business owner, loves the Lord, and has been on this show several times, my buddy Fred Von Cannon, who ran for NC House District 35 last year, to get involved and find out, where do we go? What do we do? How do we engage? And today, Fred, a perfect example of what I love to see, and it was no surprise from you because you're a smart guy, but critical thinking and not buying the narrative that's sold to us, in this case, a poll. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So this is one of those things that you read this. All right. So this is Pew Research, comes out on April 15th. Biden nears 100-day mark with strong approval, positive rating for vaccine rollout. And a lot of us conservatives, Fred, and you included, kind of roll your eyes and go, what? What? It doesn't seem like Joe Biden. We know he's not doing a great job, but it doesn't even seem like a lot of the country is all that thrilled with him. But the poll says so, so I guess we have to believe it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're bent toward taking their word for it in the media, then yes, you say, yeah, that, well, that's, I guess he's doing good, and I'm the one that's I'm in the minority that doesn't think so. So, yeah, these polls, they've always been this way. These what's been called push polls. They used to be, you know, just the political campaigns would do this. Now it's coming out of the media where they're not trying to ascertain or to take some single snapshot in time and tell us report like a journalist would what is actually happening, what's the pulse of the things. They're trying to change the pulse of things with these polls. And so it's just it's infuriating because they're doing it. It's infuriating because people don't take the time to challenge it and to look into it. And this one particular that you're talking about, I mean, I think anybody that sees that probably knows, even on the left, that that's not a great poll. That can't be accurate. And so what everyone should do when they look at these polls is to go and to look and try to find, and sometimes it's harder than it should be, like every time, find the methodology that they're using. And so on this one, it was crazy. You go to literally the Pew website, you go there, and you read, like I did, the entire article, and you hear what they want you to hear, that he's doing great here, he's doing great there, everything is good. But they don't tell you the questions, they don't tell you the audience, they don't tell you how they found the audience, if this was just calls or if it was, you know, through landlines or cell phones, or did they respond, or was this reactive or proactive type polling, what was the, you know, any of that. And so you don't know. You just know what they want you to know, which is they're trying to tell you that 6 out of 10 people think that Joe Biden's doing a great job, which inherently we know is not right.
Exactly.
And you've got to go, you look at this thing. I read the entire article, didn't see it, and then I scroll back up to the top, and there's this little thing that says, see how this is, or something like that, and see how we did this, or something. There's a little plus sign. You click on the plus sign, and a little pop-up comes up. I'm like, okay, well, maybe we're going somewhere. You read the whole thing. And it still doesn't. All it tells you is that there was a little over 5,000 participants and that it was done in April. I'm like, well, anything else? And then you look at the very bottom and there's a link that says methodology. You click on that. Now we're three links into this poll.
Right.
Trying to find out what should have been on page one. And again, you read all the way to the bottom and there's this little table that gives you the head count of how many Democrats and how many Republicans. You do your math and you realize that effectively two to one, Democrats were polled over Republicans. And so if you've got like 66% Democrats polled and he's polling at 59%, that tells me he's 7% underwater with his own party.
His own people, exactly right. And that's why, and I've talked about this for years, especially in election years. I talked about it last year when people go, hey, look at this poll. It says so-and-so's ahead of so-and-so. My first question, Fred, is always, who are they polling? And they go, well, they're polling possible voters. Okay, that's anybody over 18. Who? What else you got? Well, they're polling registered voters. Okay, but did you know that a large percentage of registered voters don't bother to vote? Okay, I'm throwing that one out. Who else are you polling? Well, likely voters. Okay, these are people that have a track record of voting. Then to your question, okay, let's say there's 1,000 of them. How many of them? What percentage is Republican? What percentage is Democrat? What percentage is independent? And then you start to see, is this a scientific poll? Or am I being pushed or pulled in one direction or another? And in this case, obviously, Pew Research Center is trying to get us to believe that Joe Biden's actually kicking butt. And most people in America are satisfied, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. So they're, again, not trying to determine. I guess they are trying to determine. They're not trying to ascertain what the lay of the land is. They're trying to determine. They're trying to make it. They're trying to, again, these push polls have been around for a long time. If you're running a campaign and you pay somebody to do a poll and you know, wired a little bit in your favor and you come out with all these great results, everybody looks at that a little skeptical. Now the media is doing that. Well, the media is relying on it. Pew and all these places seem to do this, and the media just pushes it breathlessly like it's solid gold. It's truthful. It's not to be disputed.
Right.
And again, it's really simple to just look at the methodology of the poll. Who are they polling? Like you said, what, you know, an election it would be likely voters or or registered voters, those are different, right? And so you look at, see who they're polling, when they polled it, was there some big event that happened before or after that, is always comes into play with politics.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
And, you know, just look at the methodology. But again, we have the, you know, as Rush would call it, the low information voter. We have the low information consumer of news that just looks at the poll and takes it for truth. And it's so infuriating because it's not truth. It's not truth at all that 6 out of 10 people in this country think that Joe Biden's doing a great job. That's just false.
Yeah, it's preposterous. And then once you dig into it, you can see how they can come up with that number, which they're doing. So it reminds me of the movie Elf. In the movie Elf, Elf walks into that one shop, that diner or whatever. It says world's best coffee or world's best cheeseburger. And he walks in and he's like, congratulations. Oh, it's so awesome. You guys won. You're the world's best cheeseburger. And every time you see that sign, Fred, I'm like, now, in the case of Prime Barbecue in Knightdale, that is the world's best brisket. Okay, that's different. That's reality. But with the Elf and with so many of these things, world's best coffee. And I'm always like, what are you basing that on? And sadly, with pretty much, Fred, for you, as you look at the news and the headlines of the day and you're scanning through things, you're politically active, you have a strong Christian worldview, do you take anything at face value anymore?
You know, it's funny you ask, because used to, I was one of those that did. And then, but I grew up in a little different era when I think we had more people that you could trust in the media.
Right.
But over the last 20 or 30 years, and certainly over the last 10 or 20 years, there's no way you are the crazy one if you do that, right?
I mean,
it's not the crazy people that are distrusting everything, it's the crazy people that are trusting it and just taking it at its word. You
That's
cannot
right.
do that.
You
really
cannot
have to
do that
look,
anymore.
Yep.
Great
yep.
example today. Great work, Fred, as always. We appreciate you. Thanks, brother, for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, man. Take care.
All right, man. We'll be right back. Okay, that was a great lesson. Appreciated Fred Von Cannon calling in. Smart businessman, follower of Christ. Decides to engage. They support. They volunteer. They give. And they run for office. Okay, so you engage. But you have to be discerning. You got to have a critical mind. Okay, we're going to talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment so that we can gain some wisdom and some discernment about things in the financial world. We do a little Money Monday update, but I wanted to cover several things on the heels of my conversation with Fred Von Cannon, who ran for NC House 35 here in North Carolina, and the poll, and going, well, this doesn't, what, really, that many people are 69% or whatever are excited about Joe Biden, 59%? What? Is that even possible? Depends on who you talk to, right? That's why I mentioned Elf. He shows up, he sees on the front window of the diner, greatest cheeseburger on the planet. And he walks in, or it was coffee. Man, I think it was the greatest coffee in the world. And he walks in. Oh, congratulations. You won. Yeah. What? Who'd you ask? My wife, my son, my mom, my brother, my dad, my banker, my accountant, whatever. Man, this is the greatest cup of coffee I've ever had. Okay, boom. That's the advertisement, right? So we need to be people of truth. So I'm going to take you through a couple things here that are going on in our country, where you have to learn how to apply the truth. So this is just an example, all right, of what we do when we are not being intellectually honest and when we have confirmation bias. So I saw earlier this morning a tweet, it was a Facebook post, whatever, and it was talking about how many people the cops have shot and killed this year in 2021. So 52 were black and 109 were white. So the person that posted it and the original person that put it up, somebody else shared it. What's their point? The cops kill more white people than black people, right? Okay. All right. And numerically, is that true? Yes, it is. There it is. I'm looking at the statistic. 109 white, 52 black. So far in 2021 that the police have shot and killed. Okay. We're not talking about the circumstances. We're just looking at the numbers. So somebody's going to say, see, they kill more whites than blacks. Now, what's wrong with that assessment? I understand what they're trying to convey, but what's wrong with that assessment? Here's what's wrong with that assessment. African-Americans make up 13.4% of the population. Okay, this is critical thinking. Okay, 13.4% of the population. Do you know what percentage of the population white Americans are? 76.3%. So now the question is, are whites and blacks being shot and killed by police disproportionately, meaning proportional to their part of the population. So if we were going to do this proportionally, now I'm going to hold your horses because I know there's a lot here when we want to open up this can of worms, okay? There's a lot here. It's like a casserole with 32 different ingredients, okay? I'm talking about one. So hold your horses, all right? Keep your powder dry. So if we were going to go proportional to the population, okay, 76.3% of the U.S. population is white, 13.4% of the U.S. population is black. If we're going to do it proportionally, instead of 52 blacks that were killed by cops, it should be 22 if it's proportional to the population. Instead of 109 white people who've been shot and killed by cops this year, it should be 123. So they're a little low versus their percentage. And the black people that have been shot and killed by police, almost double their proportional number. But Steve, what about crime rates? Okay, now we factor in that. Now this is where brutal honesty like this is going to get you flack from all sides. Black, white, Republican, Democrat. I already upset some people. Now I'm going to upset some other people. Because I'm going to go, okay, what about disproportionate? Is the crime rate in the black populace and the white populace in terms of violent crime? It's way tilted towards the black population. And the heartbreaking thing about that, which you should react, by the way, lamenting with a broken heart, not a triumphant political spirit. Ha! Inner city, black, violent crime. Ha! Proves my point. Quit telling me I'm a scumbag because I'm white. All that. All right? Slow down. And the problem today is this requires dialogue, conversation, and staying in. We don't do that. Some of you would have canceled me already, or maybe did, or saying something to your friend, or just in your mind and in your heart, Steve Noble, blah, 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 blah. But this is the tough road of truth. Jesus did it all the time. He hammers the religious leaders of the day, brood of vipers, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs. You make a convert, you make them twice a child of hell as they were before you converted them. You think your daddy's Abraham? Your daddy's the devil himself. Brutal truth. And with the rich young man, he knew his heart. He wasn't calling him names. He just said, go sell all your stuff, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the rich man couldn't do it, and he went away poor, and Jesus chased after him. No, he didn't. He let him go. So this truth lifestyle is difficult. Okay? This is just one example. Now you sit there and go, well, why is it disproportionate? Why are violent crimes disproportionately happening in the black populace versus the white populace? There's another conversation. What's going on in the inner city? What about fatherlessness? What about education? What about the welfare system? What about the Democrats? What about the Republicans? How many different ingredients are in this casserole? A lot. But unfortunately, in this country, we've lost the ability to have dialogue. We don't even want to, and we're so wrapped up in our own position. We're so idolatrous that we don't bother to engage. And so our critical thinking skills, thank you, Fred Von Cannon, are almost disappearing. You just eat what you've been fed. So that's a huge problem for Christians. There's the right, there's the left, and then there's us. Should I mostly be on the right politically? I can make that point as a Christian. But there's some times when I should be upsetting people on the right and upsetting people on the left, upsetting people in general. Because that's what the truth does. It divides right down to bone and marrow. But that's a hard road to hoe. So let's look at another thing. Where was this? Okay, you got that clip? I hardly have any time. Play this right quick. This is Fauci talking to Tyra Banks. Why is Pope Fauci talking to a former supermodel? That's a problem right there. Okay, play this clip. Listen to this. It's about a minute, okay? I don't have much time to talk about it. I'll come back on it tomorrow, but I just want to tee this up for you. You got it?
Is called age de-escalation studies, which means you always, the youngest
talking
kids
about
are
vaccines.
Vulnerable. You don't want to be putting things into younger children until you know it's safe and effective. So we know we're good to go from 12 to 15. So now we're going to go 12 to 9, 9 to 6, 6 to 2 years, and 6 months to 2 years. By the time we get to the end of this year and the beginning of 2022.
Okay, that's enough. He just gives me the heebie-jeebies when he's talking. So he's talking about the vaccine. Note, spoiler alert, if you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. I judge you not. You want to do it? Do it. I'm not doing it, at least not yet. For me, it's way too early. Vaccines usually have 2 or 3 years of data behind them. You get the shot. What happens two months later? You're fine. 6 months later, you're fine. What about 2 years down the road? And especially with kids. And we're not doing that. 10 months of data? That's just too fast for me. That's my choice, right? Thank you, pro-abortion. My body, my choice, right? You make your choice. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to decry you. Get it, don't get it. That's your deal. It's not mine. It's your life. It's your family. That's your deal, okay? That's up. So he's talking about children and vaccinating children down to 6 months. Okay, well, now let's look at the numbers. Do you know how many people there are in America 45 and under? 190 million. 45 and under, 190 million of them. How are they doing with COVID in terms of deaths? Because if you get sick and you recover, that happens to everybody. Okay, that's the deal. So when you look at this, 80.4% of COVID deaths through April 14th, 65 plus, okay, age group. 17% in the 45 to 64 age group, and 2.6% under 45. So who's the least likely to die from COVID under 65? Let's talk about even younger than that, okay? Let's talk about 44 and under. There's 190 million of you out there, 44 and under. I left that group a long time ago. And there's been a total of 14,000 deaths out of 190 million. Do you know what your chance of dying from COVID is? It is 0.0073% chance of dying from COVID. And if you're under 25, sadly, there's been about 400 and just shy of 500 deaths under the age of 25 and under. And every one of those is tragic. But there's 76 million people in that age group. And so your chance of dying of COVID is less than dying of a lightning strike. So why are we in a rush to vaccinate a two-year-old? What's going on there? What's happening? I think Pope Fauci, Dr. Fauci, is captive of not only his own flesh, but of spiritual forces of darkness and political forces of darkness. That's why he won't give us a number. What's it going to take, Dr. Fauci? Tell me where the finish line is. Is it death numbers? Is it positivity rate? How many people are getting it? How many people have been vaccinated? Can you give me a number? Just when things get under control. Okay, how are you, sir, going to know when things are under control? There's got to be a benchmark out there. Jim Jordan hammered him about this. He wouldn't give an answer. Why didn't he give an answer? Because if you don't tell people where the end line, where the end zone is, if you don't tell people where the race is over, if you don't know where the finish line is, you're just going to keep running under control or you're going to give up. Either way, works well for the powers of political power and darkness. So there's the truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. The Steve Noble Show. So much to talk about, so little time. So that's why I praise the Lord that I get 5 days a week to do this usually. But there's 40 minutes a day on the radio, minus some commercial stuff and the intro and outro music. And then there's about an hour on Facebook Live, but there's still 5 days a week. And I was just sharing with people on Facebook Live and on YouTube Live, because you can join us there. Just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook or on YouTube, or go to the stevenobleshow.com. Go to the Listen Live button. That'll show you all the radio stations we're on, and you can stream the audio online. You can get the podcast wherever podcasts are available. We're all over the place there. But you can also be right here in the studio. And just a reminder, I am not going to talk about this stuff all day. Every day. I'm not going to talk about this stuff every day. I am not. Number one, to be quite selfish, it's not good for me. It's not good for me. It's not good for me as a husband, as a father, as a follower of Christ. It's not good for me. That's gluttony. You're dining on stuff way too much, and it's going to upset you, and you're going to sell your joy down the river for a bowl of stew. You live in a cultural moment. This is a moment that is part of a larger story. And we already know what the deal is with the larger story. That's the house. That's the foundation you should build your house on. Okay? Then there's the moment. Now, you may wish you had been born back in the 1950s when things were just a little bit better, but you weren't. You weren't a mature adult in the 1950s. Well, some of you were. But why are you here now? Because God has a purpose for you. What's your purpose? Glorify him, enjoy him forever, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, but to impact the people around you, to love your neighbor as yourself. and also to be a good steward. And one of the things that we're called to be a good steward of is our finances, which is why the Bible talks about this a lot. My heart and head struggles with money and possessions a lot. God knew that was going to happen. That's why there's about 2,000 references throughout the Old and the New Testament dealing with that particular issue, whether you have barely any, some medium amount, or a lot. All of us can struggle with it. And it's another area where we need to have an allegiance to the truth. And that's why our good friend David Fisher is with us every Monday throughout the course of the weeks and the months to help us understand these complex things, to bring his expertise to the table, as well as his love of the Lord. Because David Fisher, if you did not love Jesus, you would not be on this radio show. How are you?
I concur. I agree. And I say a big amen. And I'm doing great. Thank you, brother.
It's great to hear your voice. Thanks for being here. All right, so we always do this. I love this when we do a Money Monday update. We start with Scripture, and David had in his past as well, being in the worship position and being on staff at churches, so brings that wisdom as well. 1 Corinthians 1:25, this is great and a reminder that we need. Let's start there.
I was thinking about this Scripture earlier today, and that's what prompted me to put this on your show today. Amen. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Boy, it really puts into perspective when people say, you know, I wonder if, and we're going through challenges, I wonder if God really knows what's going on, or if he really cares, or whether it be a physical or a challenge or a financial challenge or whatever the challenge is. Yes, the Lord knows exactly what's going on, but in our foolishness, we might think, I can do it better than the Lord, and that, you know, kicks the Lord off the pedestal of our heart and says we can run our lives, and that's a train wreck waiting to happen. Yeah. But I'm also reminded of if our wisdom is foolishness to God, imagine if we just prayed and asked the Lord for more wisdom in all the areas that may challenge us, how much our lives would be more enriched.
Yeah, amen and amen and amen to that. And again, especially when there's so many frustrating things going on and quite frankly scary things, we need to remember this. This is such a great passage. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. So where are you going to go? To human wisdom or God? You're going to go to God. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So where are you going to get your strength? I'm going to go to God for that too. He's 2-0, and that's going to be the best way for us to do it. Okay, so over the weekend, I was watching. I have a little bit of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin on the middle of last week. I was feeling really good. This morning, I wasn't feeling as good. So something happened over the weekend. Bitcoin took a bit of a dive, some calling it a crash. So what happened there?
Bitcoin went down Saturday night to Sunday morning 15%. It doesn't stop trading. It's a 24/7 market. Other currencies, second largest crypto, Ethereum down 18%. On the flip side, Dogecoin went up 400% last week. So there's three thinkings. The number one reason is for the plunge is it's attributed to the frothiness of cryptos, a lot of money being thrown in that market. The second reason is there's, and this is unverified on a Twitter report, that the Treasury was looking into charging several financial institutions using cryptocurrency for money laundering. And I think I meant to mention on your program here a couple weeks ago that there's a thing called Operation Hidden Treasure, that the IRS is actually doing that. They're looking into this. So make sure you pay your taxes, everybody who's hearing my voice. If you're making money in cryptos, they're going to be looking for that. So, and the third reason is Coinbase came out. We talked about that, the big hype, and now here's the hangover. So just be careful. Put a small amount in cryptos, not big chunks.
So as we, if we go from my part of the world to your part of the world, from North Carolina to Arizona, hop on over to California, jump across the Pacific Ocean, and we end up in China. Is China playing a role in all of this at all, David?
Well, the whole crypto thing revolves around China. It revolves around gold. The Chinese currency, ironically, in the last 12 months, 84% of the time when the Chinese currency went up, Bitcoin went up. Likewise, the flip side of that. So it's there's not even another currency of the G10 currencies, the 10 industrial currencies of the world. The closest connection is about 24%. So it's there's something there, and many people say, well, China, it was birthed out of Japan, but China took it over by volume. And in January, the Chinese government considered Bitcoin not a commodity. So they're actually calling it an asset class, an alternative investment, and they made it illegal for a period of years. And Now they're, as we all know, that China has expanded with their own currency. So there's kind of like three things happening. China launched the gold-backed yuan-denominated oil future contract. 2 weeks ago, the IMF reported U.S. dollars exchange globally dropped to under 60%, which is 25-year low. And then just last week, we talked about this, China released their currency, digitalizing, you know, their crypto country's currency.
Yeah.
So they're competing now with Bitcoin and others. And I think the next step is they're going to be buying some gold and possibly backing their cryptocurrency or their digital currency by gold. If people don't like the electronic, they might want to have the physical.
Yeah, that's why when people like Pelosi and Biden or Hillary Clinton before talking Russia, 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 I'm always like, you can look at Russia if you want, but the real player is China, China, China. And they're all over the place. We're talking to David Fisher from landmarkgold.com as the website, as always, landmarkgold.com. And so is China, are they actually buying gold? What's China been doing with gold? Because we talk about gold, not all the time, but it keeps coming back up. That's really David's specialty in using that. Precious metals as an aspect of your overall portfolio to provide some leverage and some the other end of the teeter totter, as I like to say. But what's is China actually in the gold market now? Are they buying it or what are they doing?
Yeah, they just bought $180 billion in gold. The Treasury Department came out and said China's up to something, and about a month ago, and their currency couldn't figure out where a whole bunch of this money was going, and China just let the cat out of the bag on Sunday. They bought a whole bunch of gold. And, you know, gold has been around for 2,500 years, yeah, put into perspective, David, here, sorry. Crypto's 10 years, and paper money about 100-plus years. So gold stood the test of time, and there is this kind of dichotomy, a fight between, you know, fiat currencies and moving towards now crypto and gold. So, you know, there's a famous guy by the name of Peter Thiel. He's a co-founder of PayPal. He said this, Bitcoin should also be thought of as a part of the Chinese financial weapon against the U.S. dollar. Yeah. It threatens money, the fiat money, but especially it threatens the U.S. dollar. And that's why you're seeing China move aggressively towards gold now even more so, and people also, plus that's the cryptocurrency thing happening too. So there's a movement away from the dollar towards these two asset classes.
Yeah, pretty alarming, and this is why we talk to David, because he brings us information so that we can have an opportunity to be better stewards of whatever you happen to have. So the Federal Reserve never really sits on the sideline. They're always monkeying around with stuff. They're like somebody with a nervous habit. So how are they reacting or counteracting with what's going on with China and Bitcoin and all the rest of it?
Well, they're doing it not just because of that, but they're going to eventually launch the currency, the equivalency of a Fed digital currency, but that's probably a year to two away. Here's what they did here recently that I found since last time on your program, a thing called TIPS, Treasury Inflated Protected Securities. In other words, a person that buys TIPS is saying inflation is coming. The Fed normally buys less than 10% a year in a year span. So far, year to date, the Fed has bought 24% of all Treasury TIPS. Don't listen to what they're telling us. Watch their actions. They're telling us inflation is coming. That'd be close to 50% a year, five times more than what they would normally buy.
Yeah, so it's don't do what I say, do what I do. And we have to watch the Federal Reserve, which is just, and again, they're just monkeying with everything all the time. There's political motivation in there. I think there's fear over what's going on with China and what's going on with our own economy and the fundamentals, even though there's going to be a lot of growth this year in our economy. You always got to look at the fundamentals. Things can look great. Just like Jesus talking to the Pharisees. You guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead bones. And that's why we need discernment. If people want to get more information, David, what do they do?
Old-fashioned way, 844-604-2575. I'll say it one more time, 844-604-2575, or go to landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, as always. Thank you for your expertise, my friend and my brother. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good, my brother. Love you.
Bye, pal. I love you, too. Talk to you later. better be praying, people. We better be praying. Wisdom and discernment. Make sure your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ and not the politics, not Trump, not America. None of that stuff. All that's going to fail you. Jesus never will. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.